see everybody out this morning. It's wonderful to be back. Had a wonderful trip being away. Just to let you know, I wasn't gone as long as Casey was. She left early to help mom and stuff. But no, we had a wonderful time, excellent time. Amazing as, again, the opportunity I had to help and assist the preacher I had studied under and trying to help young ones to grow that desire and to grow into becoming preachers possibly one day. And actually this year started after he had graduated, was the first kid that has went from the summer preacher training prep course that he does. And I believe he's been doing it for quite a few years, but he graduated last year. And now he's actually in the 2-year program, and so it's fruits of the labor finally starting to take place. And then the next year, there's a young man that lives in Florida that's been coming that plans on attending it. The year after that, a preacher I studied under, his own grandson, should be joining it. And I think year after year, the way the young men line up, it seems that if they continue and don't change their mind, that's the way it'll end up lining up. And so it's very encouraging. And then the second week that we was away, ended up landing at a congregation that actually is assisting by allowing some of these men to come in and present the Word of God once a month or every so often to help them, give them the experience, give them some feedback from other point of views. And so it was actually a coincidence that we ended up landing there, but it was a good coincidence for a congregation there also. And so it was good to get away and to have family time and spend time with Casey by ourselves without any kids. But also got to meet some new brethren, and it's just a really good time. But it's great to be home. It's a long drive home, and good to be back, good to be here. And I'm so thankful for my brethren here. Thankful for the men who filled in, giving me the opportunity to get out, to do those things. So I appreciate those who filled in Bible class and in the lessons. So, the theme for the young men's preaching training prep course was making choices, the choices that we make from day to day. Of course, mainly they didn't start off with this verse, but when I asked them about it, the main verse that comes to mind was Joshua 24, looking at verses 14 and 15 there, as Joshua makes that challenge to the children of Israel. And of course, he starts off into that point for them to make this choice, and he tells them to fear the Lord and to serve him in sincerity and truth. And if it seemed evil to them to serve the Lord, to choose for themselves, choose whom they would serve, whether it would have been the gods of the Egyptians on the other side of the river, who, of course, their fathers had got caught up in worshiping, or whether it's going to be the gods of the Amorites, and of course, the land that they were starting to take over, the land of Canaan. But then Joshua makes those famous words that we so often just pull from those verses, and forget that there's more to it sometimes. But he says, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. But he started off first telling them to make a choice, to choose for themselves whom they would serve. So, again, the choices these men have made to go there and take 2 weeks out of their summer, at the end of their summer, to go forth and study the Word of God, to practice writing sermons, to be told time and again they need to speak up more, to go rewrite it, and to lead songs, lead prayers. It's just very encouraging, and I had the opportunity to teach class the first Sunday I was away there, and I'm going to be presenting that lesson, and it goes along with, I think, in mindset, some of the stuff we've been talking about in class, but also in lessons I know presented, but just coming at it in a different point of view in choices. And the first thing that really came to my mind is God's making choices. So I want to talk about some choices as we go forth and think about it, and we'll end up talking about choices we make today. But God is making choices. Continuously throughout our lives, God has chosen to give us life, right? He's chosen to make us. Genesis chapter 1 and verse 26 says, "Then God said, let us make man in our image according to our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the sky, and over the cattle, over all the earth, and every creature.
freaking thing that creeps on the earth. God created man in his own image, in the image of God. He created him, male and female. He created them. God blessed them. God said to them, be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth, subdue it, and rule over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the sky, over every living thing that moves on the earth. God has blessed us with life. God created mankind. And again, that was a choice that God, our Lord, the Holy Spirit had made. They made this decision. Again, before time began, before that first day in Genesis chapter 1 here, that he decided, all right, well, let's make light, let's make earth, let's, separate the water from the firmament. Then he goes forth and he puts the fish in the sea, and he puts the birds in the sky, and then he starts to create all these living creatures, and then he says, let us make man in our image. He made that decision. God, again, talking about an all-knowing God. God who knows what he is doing, knows what shall take place. And yet he decided, I want to do this. We're going to make mankind. And so he made Adam, as you go into chapter 2, and he takes the dust of the earth, and he breathes in the breath of life into Adam. And upon that, he looked at Adam and said, it's not good that man should be alone. And so therefore he caused a deep sleep to take place, and then he took a rib from Adam and he created Eve. God chose to design marriage. God chose to not make it where we have to live our life alone upon this earth. And so he created woman. And so therefore, again, God's made decisions from the beginning of time. And decisions about us is what I'm focused on here. Decisions about mankind. And the first one is that he made us. He blessed us with life, and he continues to allow us to live our lives upon this earth. This is one of the points I know that I had brought out as we were going through our class this morning. Is, when does he draw that line? And we know actually he has drawn the line. He has told us, and he has prophesied and told us that there is a time he set aside to destroy this world, to put an end to it all. But what keeps him from just finishing it? Why didn't he finish it beforehand? I mean, we have the first sin recorded there in Genesis chapter 3, right? He created Adam. He created Eve. He puts them in the garden where he has all these trees. He has everything. They have everything they need. And he's just blessed them so greatly. Anything they need to eat, anything they possibly could ask for, they were taken care of. But then you have that first sin where Eve gives in to the temptation that the serpent had put in front of her, saying, you shall not surely die. And then she shares it with Adam, and Adam doesn't think twice. That is the way you read it, to ask questions where it came from, to go forth and say, no, we shouldn't be doing this. But he goes ahead and he takes it and sins along with her. He said, well, why didn't God just finish it there? God said, well, we tried with mankind, that didn't work. Instead, he blesses them, he punishes them. But there's the blessing that you have to see inside of the punishment that they were able to continue to live on. We want to take a look when they were cast out of the garden. Yeah, they were. Adam had to start working with his hands and tilling the ground and start producing his own fruit and go and work. And the pain and childbearing that the women end up gaining. And so here we look and we see what punishment was taking place, but yet God is still allowing them to live, allowing them another opportunity. And you get to chapter 4, and we have the first recorded murder. We have two brothers that are raised up by Adam and Eve, Cain and Abel, and they go forth, and one sacrifice was accepted, another sacrifice was not. And so therefore, again, as we talked about in our class this morning, pride gets in the way, you get jealous, you get mad, and why wasn't mine accepted, and for evil intentions, kills the brother. And again, I can just step back and try to have a mindset of God and say, why didn't he continue for man to continue upon this earth? This beautiful creation of his. Again, opportunity to fly. I love to drive, but flying over the world is awesome. Also, just seeing this creation of God from that high perspective. And so when we was in Arkansas, and we was able to see the mountains out there, the Ozarks, and, we was hoping to see some waterfalls, but it was just so dry up there, there's no water running in the creeks. And so, but beautiful. It's just, beautiful. When you get to a high spot and you're able to look and see the valleys and then going back up into the high peaks of the mountains, it's just, it's beautiful. God has done such a, and then he's got mankind, a wonderful, again, a design, and we can just look in the mirror and look at ourselves and think, God made this. All the bones and joints and muscles and tissue and everything connected together, working perfectly with one another. And yet man continues to destroy one thing after another, to misuse it, to kill one of God's creations just because. And yet he allowed it to take place. And then we get to chapter 6. I mean, we're going at the beginning of time, all that's taking place here in Genesis 6 and verse 5. It says, the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and every intent of thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. The Lord was sorry that he had made man on earth, and he grieved in his heart. The Lord said, I will blot out man whom I have created from the face of the land, from man to animals to creeping things and the birds of the sky, for I'm sorry I have made them. But then you have verse 8, but Noah found favor in the eyes of him. Again, as you, alright, Noah's doing a pretty good job. I'm going to allow him to come to heaven. We're still going to get rid of the rest of man. Again, that's a choice God could have made. Right? God can do as he wishes. God is ruler and has all power. And yet, when he came and he looked at Noah and he looked at his family and they are saved, giving once again another opportunity. And again, you just go through the Word of God. And ask, why didn't he end it here? Why didn't he end it there? Why does it continue? Exodus 32, again, he makes the offer to Moses there as they build the golden image that this calf had came out of the fire. And God tells Moses, I will make you a new people. Let me wipe them out. And then Moses pleads with them and says, what will they say of you? And God, of course, he punishes them. Those who are of age, well, this is further on, as they then enter into the land, I'm going to get ahead of myself. That's what we do. But they were punished here. They had to melt the gold down, they had to drink out of it. They were punished. When would you draw the line? When would we say, well, we've had enough? We've given up? Because as you go further throughout from the Word of God, again, we've already read and talked about it in the adult class this morning, going through the book of Daniel. We kind of refer to the good kings and the bad kings. Well, why? Why go forth? Here, again, we talk about, God has had a lot of men of faith. As we go to Hebrews chapter 11 and look at these men, we look at Moses, who was a friend of God, had a relationship like no one else. We talk about David, and we talk about Solomon, we talk about some of the wonderful men of faith that you can talk, but then we can also look at the line with Moses, when Moses had fallen short, struck the rock. David, when he committed adultery and murder, and Solomon, that wisest man, alright, I'm going to give this man more knowledge than anyone else, more wisdom than anyone who's ever lived and ever will have. There's one who's going to do great things. If there's one who's going to go beyond everybody else, surely the wisest. But yet, he fell short also. He had multiple wives from other nations, ended up allowing idol worship and participation and just. What do you draw? But God's patient. He chooses to continue to love us. He continues to choose to bless us with his long suffering and patience and 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9, it says, "The Lord is not slow about his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing for any to perish, but for all to come to repentance." Now, if you read further, it will tell us why they were considering, partially why what slowness, slackness is considering there, is that God has promised to destroy this world. And he's saying, God's going to fulfill his promise. God is going to destroy this world. The day and hour, no one knows but God, and he shall come as a thief in the night. But why hasn't he done it? Maybe we take the time back and think about when we have fallen short, we have sinned, and we ask that question ourselves, why does God continue to allow me to live? Why does God continue to bless me and give me life? And why is it that he has allowed all these good things to happen to me? And then when you take a step back and say, because he loves you. Because he wants you to be saved. He wants you to have eternal life in heaven with him. That is his desire. And so he chooses to give you the opportunity today to obey God. He chooses to bless you with this opportunity to examine your life and to finally come to that understanding and conclusion that you need to give yourself over to God. God made that choice. He chooses to let us live. Because if he wanted to, he could strike us, any one of us, down at any time. But he's let you live. And we continue further into this point of choices that God has made in the Father. He chose to send his Son down. John 3 and verse 16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life." He chose it. Right? God chose to send his Son down to this world to destroy, to be deep, to be scourged, knowing this is going to take place because he had prophets prophesy him. He showed and forewarned us of what would take place in Isaiah 53. And in verse 3 it says, "He was despised and forsaken of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and like one from whom men had their face, he was despised, and we did not esteem him. Surely our grief he himself bore, and our sorrows he carried. Yet we ourselves esteemed him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was pierced through for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The chastisement for our well-being fell upon him. And by his stripes we are healed." It's just, God knew what had to be done. God foretold of what would take place. And yet he chose to send his only begotten Son to this world. And yet Jesus chooses to remain faithful in the whole situation. He chooses to not give in and to call upon the angels to deliver him from man's hand. In Matthew chapter 26 and verse 53, Matthew 26 and verse 53, it says, "Lord, do you think that I cannot appeal to my Father, and he will at once put at my disposal more than 12 legions of angels?" He says, "Do you not understand what I can do? That I can call upon the Father, and he would put an end to this all at once." So our song doesn't say legions here, but our song is in the hymn books, 12,000 angels. Thousands, legions more than that. He could have stopped him. The Father would have sent him. And he had time to pray and ask for it. We know that. You go back in the same chapter, Matthew 26 and verse 39. As it reads there, it says that he went a little beyond them and fell on his face, prayed, saying, "My Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. yet not as I will, but as you will. You know, he had the opportunity. And yet Jesus chose to do this. He chose to be faithful to the Father. He chose love for you and me. He chose to go through this suffering. And yet, what choices do we make today? What choices have you made throughout your life? In mindset of thinking about what God has done for you, what God continues to do for you, what choices do you make? God has blessed you with life. God has allowed you to live however long you've lived upon this earth. Whether we're talking about infants or we're talking about those members of this congregation, He's blessed you with life. How have we repaid Him? How have we chosen to live this life that He has blessed us with? Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 9, if you turn along with me there. Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 9. As Jesus had made that decision to go through and be our sacrifice, God made the decision to send Him down to die for us. We read here, and it tells us that having been made perfect, He became to all those who obey Him the source of eternal salvation. But it's only to those who obey. God has sent His Son, Jesus, to die. Jesus is now the author of salvation to who? To those who choose to be faithful. Those who choose to obey His word. You have to make that choice to obey. As Joshua made that challenge to the children of Israel. Again, when the choice is set right in front of you, and you know, the simple question of, all right, do you choose to obey God and to go to heaven, or do you choose to disobey God and go to hell? Well, it's obviously obey, go to hell. But as time goes on and the choices aren't so straightforward right there in front of us, but they are choices such as, do I miss services and go do what I want and have fun, or do I come? Or the choices of, do I go forth and be a drunk? Or choices of lying and swearing and cursing? Choices we make every day. Them are the choices we are choosing whether or not to obey God, whether or not to be faithful in the service of our Lord. When Moses was preparing the children of Israel to enter into the land, he told them that they had to go to the mountain and put some on the right and some on the left. And he told them that there's going to be blessing. Blessing to those who obey. To those who are faithful. God will bless them. But curse if they disobey. You go forth and you study it and you read, you see that he brings out the point, it's not because of your faithfulness, it's not because of your purity, it's not because that you guys are so righteous that God has given you this land. But rather, He's punishing those who are in the land because they are so wicked and so evil and so unrighteous. And He is casting them out. And so the warning to you is that if you get caught up in the same ways as them, He's not going to allow you to continue to dwell here. Just as we're reading in Daniel, they're taken captive time and again. The gold and silver is taken out of the temple. Because they weren't faithful. They did not continue to obey. Choices we have to make. What kind of heart do you have? How do you react when the Word of God is presented to you? Here in Matthew chapter 13, we have the parable of the sower, the seeds, and the different grounds in which the seed ran on. And you start with in verse 18, it says, "Hear then the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what has been sown in his heart. This is the one on whom the seed was sown beside the road. The one whom the seed was sown on the rocky place. This is the man who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet has no firm root in himself, but is only temporary. And when the affliction or persecution arrived because of the world, because of the word, immediately he falls away. And the one who seed, whom the seed was sown among the thorns, this is the man who hears the word. And the worry of the world and the deceitfulness of the wealth troubled the word, and it becomes unfruitful. And the one who the seed was sown on the good soil, this is the man who hears the word, understands it, who indeed bears fruit and brings forth some hundredfold, some 60, and some 30. The question again, it really comes down to the choice that you make when you hear the word of God as it is being planted into your heart. As you are studying at home on your own, or as you're listening to a lesson from the preacher, if you're studying in Bible class, you're making the choice whether or not to receive it gladly. Whether or not to say, that sounds like something I maybe need to study further, and you study it harder, and you research it more, and you ask more questions, and so your faith in what the truth is growing stronger, and the roots are growing deeper, rather than just hearing it, letting it kind of start, then the world matters more. Friends matter more. The joys of this world choke it out. How do you receive the word? Again, how do we take when brother comes and approaches? So we're commanded to do that, right? Matthew 16, go forth, and when a brother sees you in, see, go and tell him his fault. Because we hope that he will hear, and that he will repent, and he will turn back to God. But too often, it's not a matter of we want to choose to see the truth, but rather we want to continue to live blindly or continue in our sin and unhappy, but people leave us alone. We have a brethren in Corinth as a good example of making the choice to be transformed. And obviously, as you read through the entire book, you know that they struggled with overcoming a lot of the things that they were dealing with. That they had to be written this letter, and that they had to work on some stuff that they weren't getting fully right. But considering where they were, as you read these first parts in 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 9, it says, "For do you not know the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor Ephraimites, nor homosexuals, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revelers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. For such were some of you. But you were washed, and you were sanctified, but you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Spirit of our God." They chose to be transformed. They chose to change. Again, it's a choice that we can make that you have to be willing to make. You have to be willing to say, "I no longer want to be involved in what God calls sin. I no longer want to be going down a path that leads to destruction." They were participating in such things. But as the truth presented it to themselves, they chose to be washed and become children of God. Again, Paul made that choice himself. He could have chose to flee and hide. He could have chose to continue to go and persecute the church, continue to thrive in ruling to move higher in his position, as he was already, you know, getting a lot of good contacts. He was trained under a high priest, you know, he trained and he received permission from people in the cities. He was known. He knew people. He could have tried to continue down that road, but when the Lord appeared to him and he got to Damascus and he was spoken to, he chose to obey God. He chose to repent and start teaching Christ. What choices do we make today? Again, I referred to this earlier, but choosing to come together and just choosing to be with our brothers and sisters in Christ all the more often that we have the opportunity to do so. And in Hebrews 10, and again, starting back in verse 23, because it's more than just assembly. It's coming together instantly, but it's more than that. It's our love for each other, our desire to help one another, and to be thankful to God. Because here in verse 23, it says, "Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. So the first part it's talking about is us being thankful, us holding to that confession, us being true to being children of God and saying, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. I want to be a Christian. For he who promised is faithful. Let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good works. And so now we're considering one another. Let us first of all fast the confession. Let us consider each other how to stir up love and good works. Think about how it is we can assist each other, how it is we can help stir up love and good works to push each other to be more selfless. Verse 25, not forsaking our own assembling together, as in the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as we see the day drawing near. All the more as we think the time is coming, all the more that we get older and drawing, know that we're drawing closer to a time frame that our life is coming to an end. It says more we should be gathering together, the more we should be with our brothers and sisters in Christ, in helping each other, in encouraging one another. Matthew 6, verse 33 says, seek ye first the kingdom of God. Church is God's kingdom. Our brothers and sisters in Christ is God's kingdom. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Top of our priorities should be one another. So how do we make our choices from day to day? James 4, verse 17, to him who knows to do good and does not do it, to him it is sin. The choices we make every day, think about whether they are good or bad, whether they are to help further the kingdom, help further spread the word, to strengthen our faith, the choice to pray daily, the choice to study the word daily, choice to check on your brethren. Choices that we have to make sure we're choosing wisely and serving our God. Matthew 10, verse 22. Matthew chapter 10, and verse 22. It says, you will be hated by all because of my name. But it is the one who has endured to the end who will be saved. Do you choose to be part of the world or to be hit by the world? That's what we have to choose. Again, if you get caught up and worried about what the world thinks about you, what friends at school will say about you, what you might miss out on in this world, you're choosing the world over God. You're choosing that over heaven. As Jesus says, for his name will be hated. The world hated him, and we can't do it better than he did. We're not greater than the teacher. So what choice will you make today? Have you obeyed the gospel? Do you know the truth? If you have heard the truth, and you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, you believe that he came down from this world, lived faithfully, and died for you, and that he resurrected, he conquered death, and that he has the power to forgive your sins, then you have a choice to make. You can choose to repent of your sins, to confess your faith, and to be baptized. Or you can choose to continue to go down a path that you know leads to destruction, leads to sin. And again, as you make that choice, think about the influence that it sets on others. The choice to continue to go down the path without salvation. The example you set to your friends, to your family, to your children, to your parents. It's an example that has been set. But the choice to obey the gospel is also an example that you can encourage others to do the same. If you're here and you need prayers for congregation because you've obeyed and you've been struggling to make right choices, if there's anything we can do for you, you can let me know as we stand.
Make me a servant, just like